goodness, thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for being there for us. God, that we have a friend that sticks us closer than a brother. And I pray, God, today, for the next few minutes, you help me to try to deliver this message the way you put it in my heart. God, that we can see the great truth we have here before us. And God, we live our lives according to the Scriptures. Lord, I thank you and I love you. I pray for one's lost, undone without Christ, that this will be the day of salvation for them. May they come to know Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins. God, I pray you'll speak to hearts now. May I step out of the way and allow God to take control here and do what needs to be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me in God's Word to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We begin reading in verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. We go through our lives, the Bible says, as a tale that is told. And we've got a lot of people in here that, as I look around, most of us claim to be saved. We've made a profession of faith. We've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and come into our hearts to be our Savior. And today we can say we're Christians. We've been born again. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. So I want to try to speak to you this morning and help you this morning. As I was reading and preparing and studying for this several months ago, God used it in a tremendous way to speak to my life in the past few weeks. It says here in Luke chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth and neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you got a habit of marking things in your Bible. I want you to look here in verse 23. The Bible says, the life is more than meat. Notice these three words, life is more. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, life is more. One of his disciples coming to him and said, Lord, tell my brother to split his inheritance with me. The Lord said, beware of covetousness. Beware of wanting what's not yours. And I'll just shoot this in here. That's why I, as a Christian, I believe it's wrong to gamble. It's wrong to scratch those lottery tickets because you're coveting something that's not yours. You're paying a little bit of money for a whole lot of money, taking a gamble of chance of winning some money. Hey, if God wants you to have it, I believe God can give it to you in a better way than a stinking lottery ticket. I go many times and the thing says, you're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. How about those times you lose? Does it say you're a loser? You're a loser. I don't believe it does. But my friend, the Bible says here, life is more. And life is more than just the money we can have. Life is more than just the prestige that we can have. Life is more than what we can just attain in this world. He gave us a parable about a certain rich man that had plenty of goods, that had plenty of fruit, that had plenty of substance, and he had so much that he could not put it in his barns. He said, this is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater and bestow all my fruit and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? My friend, the Bible speaks about a parable here about a rich man that had many of things. And then Christ has started talking to us again. And in verse 23, the Bible says, and life is more. Life is more than just what we can have here in this world. My friend, life is more than just what we can achieve here in this world. The Bible says, and we read this, that our life, the average lifespan is 70 to 80 years. Our average life is 70 years. Imagine tonight, this morning, if I were to give every one of you $71 bills. You've got $70 in your hand, $71 bills. You think about every time you lived a year, you spent a dollar. You spend a dollar for every year that you lived. How many years do you have left? How much money do you have left out of $70? Someone like Brother Jim will be flat broke. He won't have a dime left. Someone like me have been alive for 30 years. 30 years, I believe that's 40, 50, 60, 70. I've got 40 years left if I live according to what the Bible says a life would be. My friend, 40 years, if you look at it as $41 bills, it's not much money left. It's not a whole lot of time left. But I can use that money, I can use them years wisely by spending them for the Lord. My friend, you have your life to live. And you might have 10 years left, according to the Bible. I don't know when anybody's going to die. I have no idea when I'm going to pass away. But if your life is a 70-year life, how many more years do you have? You can use your life wisely by spending it for the Lord and giving the rest of your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says life is more. Life is more than what we can collect in our homes and our houses and show off to our neighbors. Our life is more than how nice we can dress as we leave the house and the nice restaurants we attend and the places we can go to find some kind of enjoyment. I like a lot of things. The other day I was able to get away and go to fishing, and I enjoyed it. But I enjoyed sitting out there in a boat, and me and my stepfather and my son going fishing, I enjoyed it. We liked it so much that we took the family again fishing yesterday. We had a wonderful time. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. But my friend, we get so caught up in this world, and we get our tent stakes so deep in this world that we forget there's a life after this world, and we're not living for this time, but we're living for eternity. And one day, we're going to have to meet God. And what you're going to do, my friend, well, you stand before God and give an account of what you've done with what he's given you. I want to tell you this morning, life is more than just what we can collect and what we can receive and what we can buy and what we can inherit and what we can accumulate. You know, most of the junk you accumulate through your life is sold at auction or sold at a yard sale the day you pass away. It's gone. Somebody else is enjoying what you worked all your life for. Now, we've got a lot of great things. I've got a lot of books. I love books. I love reading. I've got a lot of Bibles. I like my Bibles. I went down and passed my Bibles on down. I'm going to pass my books on down. I'm going to leave an inheritance for somebody else. But life is more, folks. I want to tell you a little bit about life. The Bible says this, if you look with me, in verse 23, the Bible says, in life is more. But look in verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, your life is worth more than what you have at your house. Sometimes we accumulate our life with what we have. Well, if you live in just a double-wide trailer and you have a rusted old car, then your life is not valued a whole lot. But that's not how God looks at it. He said the abundance of a man's life is not in that which he possesseth. You can live in a beat-up trailer with a rusted-out car, and you can give your life to Christ and make your life count here for this time and for all eternity and be an outstanding Christian in God's eyes. This man here, notice what the Bible says about this man. In verse 16, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Here, this rich man had plentiful goods in his life. The world will look at this man's success and say he was rich. The world will look at this man's success and look at his wealth and look at his fame and his fortune and says that he was a success. But you know what God says? God says he is a fool. Look here, if you would, in verse 20 and 21. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. We look at this rich man that had prestige, that had fame and fortune and wealth, and probably could afford anything he wanted from Walmart, probably could have went to the car lot and bought any car that he wished to drive. We will look at this certain man and say, he's a successful, rich man. I think about these Super Bowl players. I think about the NFL players, the NBA players, the Major League players, all the soccer league players. I think about all these professional athletes that's making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Read an article about a year ago. Somebody interviewed a professional basketball player, and they said, what is your goal for this new coming year? And he said, my goal for this new year approaching is that I will make another $1 million. He said, I want one more $1 million. If my mind served me correctly, he's already making $18 million a year. He said, I want to make another million, which is $19 million a year. If you're already making 18, what's one more going to help? Not a whole lot. But he had his eyes on money. Eyes on money. This rich man had money. He had fame, he had wealth, he had all that he could imagine. But when God looked at his life, and when God took a look at his life and surveyed his life, God says he was a fool because he was not rich towards God. There's nothing wrong with having money. Every one of us needs it to live. You got to keep gas in your automobile. You got to keep groceries in your house. You have to pay your bills. We should pay our bills on time. We shouldn't try to get in too much debt. We shouldn't live above our means. We should live according to what God has supplied us with. We should pay our bills right. I believe that's right. I have a good testimony. We should pay our bills and do the best we can with what we have. There's nothing wrong with having money, but our life is more than just having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. We've got a nice automobile. We got nice clothes to wear. I love wearing a nice suit to church. I love wearing nice ties to church. I try to look the best I can, and we try to keep our house as nice as we can. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, but there's something wrong with having nice things if you don't use those things to be rich towards God. There's nothing wrong with having money, but there is a thing of wrong with having money if all you're going to do is hog it up for yourself and it's not rich towards God. There's nothing wrong with a person can sing, but I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I would sing every service. I would join in the choir. I would sing special songs. There's nothing wrong with singing, but there is something wrong with singing if you use it for your own glory and not use it to be rich towards God. We can take anything in our lives and use it in such a way that we're not rich towards God with it. There's nothing wrong with having a family. Have a great family. Love my family. But I can use my family in such a way that I don't give them to God and I'm not rich towards God, and then my family is not the family it should be. The Bible says life is more. Life is more than just money, folks. Life is more than just what we can put on our backs. It's more than raiment. It's more than meat. It's more than clothes. It's more than food. It's more than what we can possess. It's, our life, it should be consist of God. I want you to notice that when life begins, the beginning of life starts with Jesus Christ. The beginning of life starts with Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn to these Bible verses. I'm going to read them to you this morning, but they're out of the Authorized King James Bible. It says here in John chapter 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Bible says, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." Here Christ is speaking, and he said, "Hey, the only way you're going to have life is to come to me." We've got some people in our church this morning. I don't know who they are, but I can tell you they're lost in their sins on the way to a devil's hell. If they die in a situation, hey, listen to me, beloved. You can fool me. You can fool the other people. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your children, but you'll never fool God. If you're not saved by God's grace, you don't have the life that God gives. If you don't have the life that God gives, you will not go to heaven when you die. You'll have to go to a place called hell. You say, "Well, preacher, look at me. I'm learning my Bible. I'm wearing a suit. I'm coming to church." Hey, that's all good and glorious if you know Christ as your Savior. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, you're just a hypocrite trying to pull a fast one on God. And God knows your heart. And he's going to say one day, "Depart from me, ye cursed in the everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his demons." But God, we've done so many mighty wonderful works in your name. He said, "Well, I never knew you." You say, "Well, I taught Sunday school class." He said, "I never knew you." You say, "Well, I come to help out. I come to back the preacher up. I gave my 10% in offering plate. I sung in the choir. I sung in the congregation. I was faithful to church." But God says, "Hey, I never knew you," because you don't have his life. The only way to have his life is to come to him and receive Christ as your Savior. Let me read these other Bible verses to you real quickly this morning. Life begins. Life begins with Christ. It says here in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." You know what Christ said? Christ said, "I'm come that you might have life." Life begins with Christ, my friend. It does not begin the day you graduate high school and get a job and make multitudes of dollars so you can spend them any way you want to. Life begins the day you receive Christ as your Savior, because the Bible says this for us in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe in verse 1, the Bible says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." That word "quickened" means made alive. Before you met Christ as your Savior, you was dead in trespasses and sin. Every day you're walking by dead people. Every day we're rubbing shoulders with dead people. Every day we're walking past dead people that's lost in their sins on the way to a devil's hell. And the only way they can receive life is to know Christ as their personal Savior. But he says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." You'll try religion. You're trying to straighten up. You're trying to do good. But the only way you can receive life is to come to Jesus. He said, "Hey, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life." He said, "I want to save you and give you life, but not just any kind of life, life abundantly." He wants to give us abundance life. He wants to give us a life full of joy and full of rest and full of happiness. Life begins with Christ. Life begins with Christ. But he says life is more. Life is just more than what we can get in this world, folks. Life is something greater. Not only when life begins, but the blessings of life. I want to share this with you. We can invest our lives today. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you're still in the book of Luke, you just keep turning to your right, and you'll find 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just for the next few minutes, listen to what the Bible has to tell us. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Let God help us. Life is more. The beginning of life starts with Christ. The blessings of life is when we invest our life in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 2. Well, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here Paul is talking to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Paul was a spiritual father, Timothy. And notice what it says here in verse 2. "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul lived his life in such a way that he wasn't just living for what he could gain in this world. He was living for eternity. Paul said, "Timothy, you've been with me a long time now." He said, "You've heard my life. You know my doctrine. You know what I believe and teach." He said, "What you've heard of me, commit thou to faithful men." Paul was to teach Timothy, and Timothy was supposed to teach faithful men. And those faithful men were supposed to teach others also. My friend and I, if you're a Paul, you're a Paul to somebody today. I'm some of you's Paul. I'm a Paul to some of you. It's not by choice, but it's just by design from God's hands. I didn't pick this position. God put me in this position, and I'm supposed to help you in your Christian life. And Paul is supposed to give to Timothy things out of the Bible, show him how to live according to the Scriptures. And Timothy, it does not stop with Timothy. Timothy is supposed to teach faithful men. But it does not stop there. Those faithful men are supposed to teach others also. Today, I'm teaching. I'm trying to teach you something. Today, I'm teaching Tiffany something. One day, Tiffany grow up and get married and have children. Lord willing, she'll have children of her own. What I've taught Tiffany, she's supposed to teach her children. But it doesn't stop there. What I've taught Tiffany, I'm supposed to teach her children. I'm teaching her, I'm supposed to teach faithful men who's going to teach others also. She's going to have children, she's going to teach her children what she's learned from me. Her children's going to teach their children what they learned from her children, what they learned from her, what she learned from me. Life is more than just our meager lives, my friend. It's just more than what we want to have in this world. I'm going to tell us the only way to have the life that God wants us to have is to invest ourselves in other people. What are you saying, preacher? Life is more than just about you. Life is about Christ. And the Bible says our life is hid with Christ. Our life is hid with Christ. And I'm supposed to give my life to help you. Life is more than just what I can get for myself. What I can get for myself. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If he's a good shepherd, I'm talking about the animals. I'm talking about the sheep as far as taking care of those animals. If it's a good shepherd, he'll give his life for the sheep. He'll protect the sheep from the wolves. He'll protect the sheep from sickness. He'll protect the sheep from the storms. He'll protect the sheep from any kind of hireling that will come and steal the sheep away. If you have a good spiritual shepherd, a pastor, he'll try to give his life to help you. He'll give his life to help you. I was here last night at 1 o'clock in my office praying and crying and reading and asking God to help me to give this to you today. My life is more than just about me, folks. Your life is more than just about you. We're supposed to take our lives and invest it in others. You might be a parent here today. Won't you take time to take the Bible and teach your children something about God and God's Word? Your grandmama, your grandpapa today, won't you take time to teach your children about your grandchildren about God and God's Word? Don't. They're not going to learn it from the schoolhouses. They're not going to learn it from TV. I promise you, hey, they're not going to learn it from SpongeBob SquarePants. They're not going to learn it from Hannah Montana. They're not going to learn it from any kind of TV shows. They're not going to learn it from the schoolhouses. They're not going to learn it from any kind of programs. The only way your children is going to learn about God is from you. If you come to one service a week, you're only in church 52 times a year. If you come to church twice a week, you're in church, what, 104 times a year. If you come to church 3 times a week, you're in church for what? 156 times a year. If you come to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're in church what? 204 times a year. That's not a whole lot. 204 times is not a whole lot compared to how much we see at Walmart, how much we hear on the radio, how much we see on the television set, how much other children is teaching your children. You can invest your life here. There's a lot of people here this morning. You've got a great potential to be used for God. Some of you this morning, you can help out in such a tremendous way. You can sing in the choir. You can invest your life and sing in the choir to be a blessing to others. And your grandchildren will grow up. And they can say, I remember when grandmama and granddaddy sung in the choir. Some of you can be great Sunday school teachers. If you'll just give your life to Christ, you can be a great influence in this church. If you'll just give your life to Christ and realize that life is more. Of course, we won't leave our children's inheritance. We want to leave our children some kind of inheritance when we die, when we leave this world. We want to make sure they're taken care of. We want to make sure our funeral is taken care of. We want to give them a few things that we might have in this world. But the greatest thing I could do is give my life to God and let Him use it to invest my life into my family. So when I'm dead and gone, they know more about God than they ever will without me in their lives. Life is more, folks, than just working a job, getting your money, and living your life. Our life is more. Well, we should be investing our lives in the next generation. We should be investing our lives in the people in this church and the people surrounding this church. Hey, the beginning of life starts with Christ. The blessings of life is that we can give our lives in this world. Look here, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 5. The Bible says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Here Paul was talking about Timothy. He said, hey, you learned from your mother because she learned from her mother. Hey, it's a chain reaction. Paul taught Timothy, who taught faithful men, who's going to teach others also. Hey, my friend, where you're at today, are you a Timothy and you're going to teach faithful men? Are you a faithful man who's going to teach others also? Or you're somebody's Paul, you're going to teach a Timothy who's going to teach other people? Every one of you is teaching somebody something. Every one of you is teaching somebody something today. I was picking up people on a bus this morning, and I saw a man cutting his grass. His little boy out there playing on a seesaw. That father is teaching his son to have no respect for God or God's house or the Lord's day. This is still the Lord's day, ain't it? It's still a day that should be set apart for God and God's glory. Hey, you work on Saturday, go fishing on Saturday, but give God a Sunday. You're teaching your children something today. You're teaching your grandchildren something today. And what you're teaching them today will last the rest of their life until they teach their children what you've taught them. Life begins with Christ. The blessings of life begins when we invest our lives. But I want you to notice this, the brevity of life. Life is short, folks. Can I just read these Bible verses to you? You don't have to turn there. Time's almost up. But the Bible says here in Psalms 90, let me just read these few verses to you. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, is there strength in labor and sorrow? For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Notice what Moses said in verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Moses didn't say, Lord, teach us to number our years. Teach us to number our weeks, our months. Here Moses said, Lord, you teach us to number our days. You know what the Bible says? Life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Hey, my friends, how many today would say 70 years is a long time? Not a long time. Not a very long time. Not picking on anybody. Brother Jim, is 70 years a long time? It's not a long time, is it? Brother Donnie, is 70 years a long time? It is. Brother Mac, is 70 years a long time? Not at all. And our average life is 70 years. Life is short, folks. And what you give your life to here is going to last for eternity. If you don't share your life with others,
and teach your children and your grandchildren and your babies about God, who will? You say, Pastor, it's your job. Is it my job? Well, you bring them to my house and you let them live with me for a few years and I'll teach them God's word. If it's my job, you let them live with me. But if they're your family, they're your children, they're staying with you, it's your job to teach them God's word and how to live the Christian life. And we should be investing our lives in our children, investing our lives in our grandchildren, investing our lives in each other to help each other out in this Christian life, because our life is more than just what we accumulate. Our life is more than just money. Our life is more than just groceries. Our life is more than the house you live in. Our life should be hid with God. And Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days. Our life is short, friend. Life is very short. You don't know him, a fellow by the name of David Brainerd. He is a missionary to the Indians. He called them savages. He said all they done was drink and rebel around and killed and rape women. But he is a missionary to the savage Indians, and every day he would go out and pray for them and preach to them and witness to them and try to lead them to Christ. He couldn't even speak their language. He had to get some Indian that was a drunk. He stayed drunk all the time to interpret the message to the savage Indians that David Brainerd preached to. David Brainerd didn't live to be 29 years old. He didn't live long, but he lived great because he gave his life to the Lord. You might not live long, but you can live a great life by giving it to the Lord. These children this morning who come up here and put this change in the bowl here, you know what we're teaching them? Support God's work. But we're teaching them something more. We're teaching them to support God's work through God's church. We're teaching them that when you're obedient to God, God's obedient to you. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take them out to McDonald's one day. Let them get a Happy Meal. Let them play on the playground. Hey, we might throw them a pizza party. We might take them to Petty State Park. We're teaching them when you invest your life and do what God wants, that it pays off and God blesses and God rewards those who's going to hide their lives in Christ and invest their lives in eternity. You say, preacher, you just taking up change for a missionary. It's more than just $50, $60 for a missionary every month. It's teaching the next generation how to have faith in God and to serve God and to live for God and be faithful to God in God's house. When they come up here and shake the pastor's hand, you say, preacher, you just want them to shake your hand. I'm not doing that for me. I'm trying to teach them children that when a man stands behind a pulpit, he should be respected. And it's all right to go shake his hand because the man behind the pulpit loves you and is going to be praying for you. Whether it's me or somebody else, the pastor loves you and the pastor is praying for you and the pastor cares. We're trying to teach the next generation. Next generation. You know what they're doing in children's ministry next door? You say, why don't you call it a children's church? Because Open Doors, one church. It's not the big church, the little church, the next church. We're one church. This church got several ministries, and the children's ministry is one of them. Hey, they're learning a Bible verse this morning. They're learning a Bible song this morning. They're learning about a Bible character this morning. They're learning about a great Bible truth this morning. But you know what they're learning more than that? They're learning that people in this church care for them, and they're going to teach me the truth of God's word that will live and abide forever in my heart and life. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Life is more, folks, than just having a nice building with nice pews, nice decorations, wonderful things. It's life is more than this. Life is about me taking what God's given me and investing it in somebody else. Because the next generation is growing up. They're coming up. They're coming up. I'm going to tell you what they're coming up with. I heard two little girls singing a song. And they sung this song, they called a person's name out and called a man's name out and called, I'm just going to call them Sue and Bob. They said, Sue and Bob, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First come loves, then come marriage, then come Sue with a baby carriage. We've all heard that song before, haven't we? But they added a new part to it. They said, Sue and Bob, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First come love, then come marriage, then come Sue with a baby carriage. That's not all, that's not all. Here comes Bob with alcohol. That's what I heard the other day. on the church bus. I looked at him. I said, hey, where'd you learn that from? Never mind. Don't tell me. Don't sing it again. Don't never let me hear you sing that song again. Let me hear you sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The world's getting to the next generation. If you keep living your life for yourself, the next generation is going to be gone. But if you invest your life and realize your life is more than just your own life, it's more than just what you can gain, it's more than what you can earn. Your life is everybody else around you that needs to hear the gospel, that needs to get a gospel invitation to church, that needs to get a gospel track, that needs to have someone to care for them and pray for them. Hey, our life is more than just us. It's about what Christ can do through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Your life. Your life. Y'all's life is more than what we can put in our wallets and stick in our houses. Our life is all about God and what God can do through us. Let's pray together. Father God, I love you. We thank you for this day. I pray for the invitation now that you'll help us. Lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Just for a few minutes, the invitation begins. The altar is open. If you need to come to pray, you come. If you're here this morning, you've not given your life to Christ, you know you need to be saved. Won't you come? It don't matter if you made 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 professions of faith already. If you know within your heart that you're not saved, won't you come this morning and give your life to Christ? I tell you, beloved, you're not fooling God. You're really not fooling me. Won't you come? Won't you come receive Christ as your Savior? Maybe here today you realize your life is more than just about you. You need to give your life away. The Bible says a man that loses his life shall keep it. Won't you lose it today? Won't you give it to somebody else today? Won't you give it to your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones? Won't you set the right example today? Won't you be the Christian that God saved you to be today? Won't you start afresh and anew and say, Christ, here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord. Let me go. Let me preach. Let me teach. Let me sing. Let me be faithful. God, here I am. Use me. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Won't you make that appointment today? Won't you follow Christ in the next step and say, Lord, I trust you for salvation. I'm going to follow you in believer's baptism. I'm going to get baptized, and I need to join this church called Open Door. And be a part of this family and give my life and influence here at Open Door for God and God's glory. I tell you what, if you join this church, I don't want one thing from you except for you to be faithful to God. And that's it. Maybe you need to be baptized. Won't you talk with me about that after the service? Maybe you'd like to join this church and you want to know more about it. You want to talk to me about that. That's fine. But maybe you're here today, you're lost without Christ. You know within your heart you're lost. If you die today, you'll go to hell. If you know you're in that situation that you don't know Christ as your Savior, whether you're a church member or visitor, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm lost. I need you to pray for me. I don't know Christ as my Savior. Would you just slip it up real quick so I can see it? I want to pray for you. I won't call your name out, but I will pray for you tonight. Preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. Father God, we love you. We thank you for thy goodness, thy faithfulness. Thank you for the precious word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That could change our hearts and change our lives. Help us, Father, as we leave out of these doors to realize our life is more than what we can consume upon our own passions. Our life should be about Christ and about God's glory. Lord, I thank you. I love you. Help us tonight as we come again to receive something from thy word, some heavenly bread we can feast upon, and that would